Calendar, you would have noticed that it said a study in Matthew. We will be looking at something in Matthew, but actually today I believe the Lord has asked me to speak on rest. So we will be in Hebrews chapter 4, probably the first 13 verses. This time of year, I know it can be a very distressing and busy time of year for people. And usually when things get busy, they get stressful, distracted. And I believe the Lord just, I know he wanted to remind me to rest. So if we turn to chapter 4 in Hebrews, we'll start reading in verse 1. So therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's from Psalm 95. So although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Rest is a promise from God. God knows we need rest. When he created the heavens and the earth and all that are in them, he did it in 6 days. And then he rested. You know, Pastor Chuck says he didn't rest because he was tired. And no, he doesn't get tired. He rested because he was finished. He ceased his work. He had finished what he started to do. He was setting an example for mankind that he created. He told us in 6 days, you know, do your work on the seventh day. Rest from your labors. Why do we need rest? God knows we need rest. Sometimes we don't know we need rest until we get burned out, until we're all used up. My adopted son, I'll call him. Richard, I hope you don't mind I use you for an example. Richard Langley, he lives with me. He just recently has passed graduated from the training course at Two Bridges to be a corrections officer. And he was telling me about the benefit package he gets there. And he gets 4 weeks of vacation every year. It's pretty good. But there's a good reason for that. The work they do is very stressful, as well as dangerous. And they insist that they take at least 80 days, you know, 80 hours of that time off so that they can rest and be refreshed and get recalibrated, shall we say. Because there have been incidences there where someone has not taken the time off, has just kept working, and an inmate just said something to them and they just teed off on them. That is not the example that they want to set at Two Bridges, nor is that the example that our Father wants us to have in this world. So rest is important. That's why he told us to take time, put your work behind you. Remember that this is not all we have. When he told Israel that, you know, on the seventh day you rest, he gave them all the laws. He said, on the seventh year, don't plow. Let the land just grow on its own. You know, on the sixth year, you plant enough, I'll give you enough for 3 years. So you can just let the land lie fallow on the seventh year. So even the land can rest. He knew the land needed rest. Rest is a gift. Just like our salvation is a gift. To be received and accepted because he knows it's something we need. So the promise, he promised rest when Israel was in Egypt and being oppressed by the Egyptians. At first, you know, they were brought down there. God preserved them. He saved them by bringing them there. But then the kings of Egypt began to oppress them and use them as slaves. And as they cried out to God, God promised he would deliver them. And so he sent Moses. And he told Moses, you know, you go and bring my people out of there. And I want you to bring them to a place flowing with milk and honey. He brought them out. And he wanted to bring them to a place where they could rest. A place where they wouldn't, where they could worship him, serve him. A place where they could be safe from their enemies. And that's what God has wanted for his creation ever since he created mankind. It was rest, it was peace, it was with fellowship with him. A place where that they could enjoy that relationship with him. God was also going to use Israel as an example to the rest of the world. You know, these are my people, I love them, I bless them, I take care of them because they love me and they serve me. And they could rest in that. But Israel, like most of us, fought him all the way. First, they accused him of trying to kill him, kill them, you know, in the desert while he was bringing them to the land that he promised them. They weren't resting. They didn't trust God. And when they did get into the promised land, they, again, were disobedient to God. They didn't do the things that God had told them would bring them rest, would bring them peace. So the whole time that they were there, they were at war with each other, with the nations around them. Just like God was trying to bring Israel into a place of rest, that was the promise that he made to mankind, all of us. He wants to bring us to a place of rest. In verse 11 of chapter 4, it talks about, it says, let us be diligent to enter that rest. Being diligent to enter the rest tells me that that there's something on our part that we have to do. Being diligent to enter that rest. It's not something that just falls on us. It's something God has offered us. And like Pastor Bob says, God is a gentleman. He is not going to force his way on us. But he loves us. And he knows us that if we allow ourselves to, we will destroy ourselves. Because we want what we want. I want to be in that place of rest. I do. But it does take work. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron, to work to have rest. I mean, let's face it, you know, that's the way mankind looks at life now I'm going to work as hard as I can all my life and save my money so I can retire and rest the rest of my life. But there's no guarantee that anyone is going to make it that far. You know, the word says that, you know, what if you work and slave all your life and then you die and that just goes to somebody else? Where's the rest in that? That's why God told us, we need to provide for our homes, our households, but take a day, make some time to rest. And remember where our help comes from. James talks about faith without works being dead. Well, where does our rest come from? Matthew 11:28. That is a verse the Lord spoke to me while I was on the road driving a tour bus. I had no peace. I had no joy. I had no fellowship. And he just showed me that verse. He said, come to me, all you who are labor and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's where rest comes from. That is our place of rest. That is the place that our Father is leading us to. Jesus himself said, no one comes to me except the Father draw him. And well, you know, people might be saying, well, he's not drawing me. Well, he is. You're just not paying attention. Because that's his desire, that everyone would come to know his Son and what he's done for them. So Jesus is our place of rest. He has done everything that was necessary for us to have peace and rest in our lives. And that doesn't start until we accept that. You know, I love it that God made it so easy for us. He just wants us to believe him. And again, that goes back to that Isaiah 33:6, that is his treasure, that we would just believe him, that we would trust him enough and love him enough and respect and honor him enough to believe him. That when he says, I love you, I will take care of you. I've done everything that needs to be done so that you can be with me forever. I've always believed that if someone would just believe that God loves them, the rest of it, you know, everything else that he says is necessary for our peace and our joy and our provision here in this world would just be so much easier to understand and to grasp. This time of year, there are so many people who don't have any rest, who don't have any peace, because they don't see what God has planned for them. This holiday that we're about to experience is a time of great distress and pain and sorrow for a lot of people. Some because they don't get to share it with people they love. others because they don't get what they want. And it seems like the world is bending over backwards to take away the meaning of what this holiday is all about, the birth of the Savior of the world. The greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, the gift that God gave us. And it's for everyone. And I love this time of year because we get to remind people of that. And this is a time of year when people's hearts are open to hear about that. I believe this is a time of year when people who don't know God begin to understand. You know, maybe the only time of year that they're willing to hear what God has done. The only time of year when they hear it and understand it and receive it and they sense that peace that comes from that. And if they don't see it in us, they're not going to, it's just going to be another holiday, another reason to celebrate, another reason to drink, you know, to try to drown their sorrows. That's the gift he gave us, rest, a promise. And it's one that when we receive it, when we can rest in knowing that the door in heaven is open, that Jesus has prepared a place for us, that nothing in this life can change that except us personally, then we're going to live our lives in a way that is going to show that Jesus lives. He's not just a name that we put on a day that is an excuse to, you know, buy stuff for each other and have a party. It's going to be a way of life. Our Father's heart must be breaking every day because the people that he loves are not hearing, they're not understanding. Jesus has been so misrepresented to so many people. This time of year, the whole world should just be celebrating. I think of that rejoicing word. When I think of what I have because of what Jesus has done for me, and I've expressed this to several people, you know, that rejoicing word. I think of when I see David coming back when they were bringing the ark back to Shiloh or Hebron, wherever it was. He was dancing. He was so happy that God was back in the camp. That's what I want to do. I know how ridiculous that would look. Because I can't dance, but yeah. I do the celebration thing, you know, like we just won the Super Bowl or something. But we won something much greater than that. Our Father looks down from heaven and he sees his people in fear, in trouble, in need, in want. And it must break his heart because they don't trust him. And I'm not talking just about unbelievers either. You know, these words were written to believers too. And I am guilty also. I don't always trust. I don't always rest in the promises that I've been given. And again, in Hebrews chapter 10, that's why it's so important to remember what he said. Not to forsake the gathering together. Because that's what we do. We come together. We thank God. We remember him. We remember the promises that he's given us. I don't know about you, but that strengthens me. So when I leave this place and I go back out there, I remember these things. I remember that this world is not all that I have. And that the only reason I'm still here is because I have something that the rest of the world needs. And he told me this is the one thing I could brag about. So I'm going to. I know him. I know he lives. I know he is able to take care of every problem I have. I don't always trust him to do that. But you know what? I found out he takes care of me anyway. Because he knows my weaknesses. He knows my needs before I ask them. I shared with Karen the other day that he was looking out for me. Most of you know me. I deliver heating oil. And I was making a delivery in Wiscasset. And I was taking a left-hand turn. I put my turn signal on. Started to make the turn. Somebody passed me on the left. Just missed him. I was thanking God. Thank you for looking out for me. Usually every morning before I leave the yard, I pray, Lord, please surround this truck, protect it, protect everybody, everything around it, and help me operate it safely. I usually do that. I didn't do it that morning. And so, yes, I was very grateful. I was thanking him for watching over me anyway. And so I just decided, well, I better pull over. And I pulled over, and I got out, and I checked my signals. They weren't working. Of course, you know, when this guy went flying by me, I'm like, you know, I judged him or her or whoever it was. But then the Holy Spirit, you know, said, you know, maybe they were not aware that you were taking a left. So I did. I get out and check. And that was because my signals weren't working. And of course, I was convicted of how I. But, you know, things like those. When God does those things for me, I know I have rest in knowing that he is going to watch over me. As long as I can hang on to him, as long as I can stay focused on who I am because of Jesus Christ, I can have peace in this world. I can have joy. I can have rest. It's his word that gives me rest, knowing it. Not just reading it and memorizing it from these pages. But when I read it and I take it to the Lord and I say, Lord, I need you to do this in my life. And he does. I love it because he asks us to prove him. To see that he's not lying to us. He invites us to call him on these things. And when you do, you won't be sorry. Because he wants to prove to you that he can be trusted. And he wants more than anything that his people, who are called by his name, would trust him to the point where their lives show that he can be trusted. Not just for our benefit, like I said. But when Ben is trusting God, and fellowshipping closely with him, and I come here, as Pastor Bob says, sucking ditch water. The people who love me and pray for me see that. And Ben has many times come with the word from God that I needed to hear, that I needed to be reminded of. And that brought me right back into that place of rest, resting in him. When our life suddenly takes a change, one that we weren't expecting, where our means of support may have disappeared, or we have a problem in a relationship, or any number of things that cause distress that we're not expecting. That's when we need rest. That's when we need to know where our help comes from. When we don't try to run around and fix things ourselves, when first thing we do is run right to the throne. That's what he wants for us. And that's what he wants for us.